Hey guys, welcome back to Uncommon Faith. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Amber.
So fun to be back to doing this.
I'm so excited. I missed it so much. It's been a long road for sure. We tried the hospital thing. It worked, but it's just not the same as being home and doing your recordings.
Yeah, it's if we had a different setup in the hospital room to record, it may have been a little different. But it's hard when, like, people are coming in and out and, like, the noises of the room and and whatnot. But I know eventually when we're in person, we'll have some kind of better setup.
Absolutely.
So you're back home now.
I'm back home. Praise Jesus.
And sleeping in your own bed.
Yes, ma'am.
You sitting in your new ride?
Sitting in my new Cadillac. I got a cup holder for it the other day.
That's great.
I'm coming up.
Now next is we got to just put like the leopard stuff on it.
Yes, yeah. Bling it out for sure. Something's wrong with my tire though right now. You take it to a wheelchair mechanic. Someone help. They gave you the cheapest wheelchair on exiting the hospital. So it's like, here you go. Mm-mm. You know, it sucks. My apartment walls are so banged up. It's crazy. I'm going to have to get some, what is that stuff that you put? I forgot the name of it. You know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about.
You know what you're talking about. Like to clean them up, like magic
eraser? Not magic eraser. I need to get some.
Bumpers?
No, not bumpers. When I go to move out of the apartment, I'm going to have to buy like putty, basically.
Oh,
what is the word
the
I'm looking for, though? They're so different. It's called something else. I can't think of it. Darn brain.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's not something that we talk about constantly. Yeah. So it's like, what is that word?
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
I know what it is. Yeah, I've moved out a lot of places. Yeah.
So I'll be filling all the holes and covering all the scratch marks, that's for sure. Yeah, I definitely should have bumpers in here. And watch out for your feet around me.
Oh, no. Have you run people over already?
I've run my own toe over because I can't move my own leg out of the way. It just drags like a dog's tail. It's so annoying. My poor feet. I need a pedicure so bad. My poor feet are so scratched up.
Can you get up into a chair?
No.
Not without help?
To a pedicure chair? I could if I had someone help me. Yeah.
But if they say like, okay, when they tap you to like move your foot, you're like,
I can't. I'm like, I can't. You're going to have to pick it up for me. This is my new normal. How sad. The worst part is I'm used to getting my legs waxed, you know, and getting summer ready. Yeah. I don't know how I'll do that anymore. She's going to say, okay, butterfly. Okay. Here goes your one butterfly wing. Because I can't do the other one. Find a way to get in there. I don't know what to tell you.
Okay, so this is our, you know, whole update episode. There's so many people that, like, I kind of gave some updates here and there.
Right.
I was very, very discreet.
Right.
Because I wanted you to be able to, you know, I mean, we didn't know if this was even going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, we were just like, I don't know. And honestly, God is so I don't want to do it myself.
I know.
I don't want to do
We were looking
myself.
For replacements.
Yeah, just like, I mean, it's great that we can jump back into it, even though you're on your wheelchair.
Yep. God is good.
In your wheelchair. All right. So take us through it. Surgery was February 24th.
February 24th. So in December, I went in for a basic angiogram to find out that my aneurysm that I had in 2020, that ruptured, that they coiled, was failing. The coiling was failing and that the aneurysm grew a new neck. And so they told me that they'd have to go in and repair it. And they gave me a couple options and I chose a craniotomy. Craniotomy is where they go and cut into your scalp and then cut in and take about 4 inches of your skull out and get inside your brain and clip the aneurysm. So that was the procedure. We were all good to go. My surgeon was all gung-ho about it and ready for it. Like, yes, I think that's the best option because it's going to prevent anything from the future. It's like a 99% success rate over everything else. which if I had...
What was the other option?
Recoiling it, which the coil could fail again, and then putting mesh inside of it, which the mesh could fail too. So...
And originally, they went through the groin.
Originally, when they did the surgery, yeah, the coil, they went through my groin.
How does it even... to reach your brain. How do you
Isn't
do
that,
that
crazy? Technology is insane nowadays. But they didn't do that without a fail either. They tore my artery doing that, and I just found that out this year that the artery in my leg is torn from the first procedure, so I'm waiting for that to heal. It's been okay. A road for sure. So the appointment was scheduled, the surgery was scheduled for February 24th, so I had my mom fly mm-hmm. out because I knew that I would need some sort of help afterwards. My dad showed up. We were ready to go the night before surgery. You know, of course, all the bad things go through your head, like, what if I don't make it out? What if something goes wrong and I die? That's what you think, like, what if I die? What if she's not here? So having those conversations with your family the night before, it's so hard. But we just kept strong and prayed and made it to the surgery. The last thing I remember is giving my mom a hug and getting wheeled back.
I mean, that was the worst case scenario. I think we all thought we're just like, okay, worst case scenario is die. You die.
Mm-hmm.
And you, I felt like you were accepting of that.
Absolutely. If God's calling me home, let's go. I'm ready. I'm ready to go home and leave some kind of story behind.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't God's plan. That was not it.
No, didn't imagine this.
I was in surgery, a surgery that was supposed to be 6 hours, mm-hmm. took 10 hours. And basically what happened is at the 10-hour mark, the surgeon came out to talk to my mom, which I can't even imagine being my mom sitting in a waiting room for 10 hours waiting for her daughter to have mm-hmm. brain surgery. He sat down on his knees in front of my mom and told her, hey, we went through, we clipped the aneurysm, but after we sewed her up and did the scans and stuff, we realized that we also clipped a vessel and she is now paralyzed on her left side. I had a stroke while they clipped the vessel. It made me have a major stroke, and it paralyzed me on my left side. So I can't even – can you imagine being my mom thinking that he's about to tell mm-hmm. her daughter died? That was like the whole setup was what it was like, was he was about to tell her I died. But no, instead he told her, hey, your daughter's paralyzed. And my mom started, you know, of course she's upset. But being mom, the mom she is, which I'm so grateful for her – she, like, stepped into action, like, okay, now what? What do we do now? And they said, well, we're going to put her in a nursing home. And my mom was like, are you kidding me? You just did this to my daughter, and you're going to put her in a nursing home? No, you better make this right. She's going to need physical therapy. They wouldn't put me in the place. And my mom looked at the surgeon like, you did this. You ruined my daughter's life. You better fix it. And, of course, the surgeon started crying or tearing up and was like, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am. And so we finally got the insurance to approve going to a rehab center. So I spent the last, 3 weeks in a rehab trying to get some progress.
Yeah, two
but
and a half.
Unfortunately, I am still paralyzed. I spent over a month in the ICU and then got transferred there. So it's been a long road, that's for sure. But I'm still here and I'm grateful for that. Yeah. Definitely unexpected. When I went in for surgery the night before, I had set up my couch, like ready to go, put all my relaxation stuff on my table, like, you know, all the healing stuff, things that mm-hmm. I would need to recuperate. I just thought I was going to go home in pain. Like, they just cut open my skull. That was the worst I thought, was I was going to be in some excruciating mm-hmm. pain, but nope. How long was I asleep? Because you know more than I do, because I don't remember much of anything. How long was I asleep, and what were the text messages between you and my mom? Because I know you were sitting on the edge of your seat as well, waiting for it to all be done.
So the night before, you know, I had started getting sick. So I had taken some medicine and started to like crash early. And so like our last conversation, yeah. I was like a little out of it, but I was like, I need to set my alarm so that I can call you before you go in. Cause you were going, gosh, you were going, the surgery was at like 7 something in the morning.
7:30 a.m.
Yeah. And you had to get there super early. So then I had to be able to call you super early.
Yeah.
And by then, like, I had no voice, and I'm just like, I sent you a long text, you know, praying for you and love you and all these things. And then I had to get, you know, all my updates through your mom. And gosh, it was
You're more than welcome to read those as well if you want.
Yeah, I'm going to I have a lot of texts because we had a lot of like group texts and then private texts.
Yeah, I had all my friends and family waiting for answers.
So by 6:52 a.m., you were taken back into surgery. By 8:48, got an update. Surgery was going well. They'll update in a couple of hours. And then by 11 o'clock, two-thirds of the way through, everything is going as planned. 2 more hours to go. And then by 1:18, procedure's done, 2.5 more hours to close her up. Like, good Lord, this is just, yeah.
I can't even imagine being on that side of this situation.
So then by 4:19 PM, you were out of surgery, but you weren't quite waking up yet. When you do wake up, you were just like writhing around screaming in pain. So they think that there might be an issue with your left side, but we don't know anymore. And then she would update us. Then like 8:22, no change. And then I think they were going to take you to a CT scan. And then by Friday,
and that's where I think they discovered I had the stroke.
Yeah. So by Friday morning, you were talking a bit. You used your left hand to squeeze hers, and that it was a long night. You were throwing up and you were in a lot of pain. And then they sedated you most of the night. You weren't able to have any liquids yet. So talking was really hard. And then she said that by 4:10 that night, so that was like another long day of nothing, like no news. And then she said, you know, that there's some movement and whatnot, but not a whole lot going on.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then nothing for the rest of the night until she texted me herself in a private message separately that next morning, Saturday. So like, yeah, I was, you know, I still had to go about my days, but so stressed, like ridiculously. Mm-hmm. No, and I'm not good at being patient. I'm not good at the unknown. I'm not good at being states away. Not that it necessarily would be any better, but maybe being able to see it.
Right.
So yeah, no next answer. Morning, 6 a.m, first thing. She was like, okay, I need, because you weren't sure how your memory was going to be. So you sent me all of your passwords and finance stuff. Right.
And, all my codes and passwords.
And she's like, I'm going to need all of that ASAP. She told me that you had a stroke at that point, I get really emotional just rereading these things.
Yeah, it's hard. It was hard hearing it for the first time when you read them to me.
Yeah, so you had a stroke again during surgery, and you're going to need long-term care. We're working through it, and just needed to – you weren't really much of a help with trying to get your passwords and stuff, which, yeah. I mean, I sent it immediately, and we got on top of it trying to figure out, you know, how to get all that stuff taken care of. But I just started bawling in bed because, you know, we talked about this before. It's not what we planned.
Yeah.
You and me, we did not Gut's probably laughing at us. Right. We did not plan this. We had, and I think it's just, and I think maybe even I was triggered, you know, just with Elijah, like you plan something and God does not allow the best case scenario and you feel betrayed and you feel, you know, let down and disappointed and you feel like I feel like we were
confused,
you know, that we were being obedient with sharing our stories and doing what, you know, doing what we're supposed to do.
Right.
And God still didn't allow the surgery to go well. You know, and then I, you know, back in December when you first found out and all that, and you told me, and I told you that I just thought of us as these two little girls, like inside of us are these two little girls who have gone through so much pain and loss,
right,
and just like sitting in front of this, you know, big God, you know, like a father figure or, you know, whatever. And we're just like, why are you putting us through this? Like, why do we keep having to do this? And it made me really emotional.
Right.
And so I felt immediately in that place again. I'm just like, why more? Like what, how much more are we supposed to take, you know? And then your mom was telling me that you weren't the same and that, you were angry and, you know, struggling with your faith. And at that point I couldn't even talk to you yet. And that made it even worse because I feel like even with doing this podcast, we've even both of us separately and together have come so much farther in our faith. I feel like every time we climb that mountain and getting closer to God,
right,
something bad happens again and you're just like, but I've been doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Right. Right. And then just to clarify something, it wasn't that I was questioning my faith. I think what I told my mom was after I found out that I was paralyzed, I said, why can't he just take me home? I'd rather just go home. I don't want to go through this. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm tired. I just don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah. Well, she was saying that you wanted to quit and not being able to talk to you. Gosh, we're just going to be crying in this episode. Before, obviously, we've been best friends for so long.
Right.
And we've talked several times a week. But doing the podcast, we talk practically all day long, every day. And my first thing, you know, right before, stuff went on with me at home. And I wanted to talk to you immediately.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to put that on you before surgery.
Right.
And I'm just like, I'll talk to her when she gets out.
Yeah.
When this is over with or whatever, then we'll... But that crazy, like, how, just to even see, like, how much of a huge difference it was to be like, wow, I really rely so much on our friendship.
We need each other. God gave us each other for a reason.
Yeah, but, like, that moment, I realized it so much more. And then not being able to talk to you. And then you know, taking everything that your mom had to say, her observation. And I'm like, well, I know Amber, and I know that we had conversations like this before. And I'm just like, I was like, just let me get in there. I'll talk to her.
Yeah.
And so I literally had like, oh my gosh, I'd go to work or I'd go to church and, mm-hmm. you know, our previous guest, Kayla, she was there, dude. Mm-hmm. She showed up I think that very next Sunday I was scheduled for children's church and she put me, she's like, mm-hmm. can you just stand here? In this baby room to see if we get any babies. We ended up getting no babies that day. So I'm literally just standing there waiting. Mm-hmm. And she wanted to talk. She's like, well, how's Amber doing? And I just broke down and I said all the things that your mom had been saying. And I'm just like, I feel very helpless. And I think, cause.
I mean, how crazy is that? Mm-hmm. Hold on. How crazy is that, that God allowed that to happen that Sunday and he just gave you your moment that you needed mm-hmm. with someone?
Yeah.
Because he knew you would need it.
Because I needed to, it was so important to have those kind of people, have people that you can trust, that you feel safe with.
To lean on.
I mean, that whole week, dude, I'm so thankful that I had the people that I work, like working at a church, man. Huge difference because, I mean, you get to work with your friends every day.
Makes the biggest difference.
But when you have stuff going on, they'll take you in another room and just sit there and talk with you and pray with you immediately. Or, I think that next day, I was like, I'm about to eat my feelings. I'm trying to be good, but it's not happening. And I told Kayla, and she's like, I'll eat my feelings with you. What about everyone else? She's like, I'll just turn this into a teacher appreciation lunch day. And we got like burgers and shakes. And we're like, this is just, so I got people like eating my feelings. Everyone's eating our feelings. Like we're just, then that same week I had a missed call from you.
Yeah.
And so I texted your mom and that's I was like, funny. Did Amber try to call me? I missed it. And I called you back and you didn't answer. And I'm like, ah. And then you finally, then like she had called me. And then right after I talked to her, you called me. And that was our first conversation. And
was it FaceTime? I can't remember.
No, you just called me.
Okay.
Do you remember?
No.
Okay. You just called me regular on the phone and we were just both just like, this wasn't how it was supposed to be. And I'm like, you're like, did mom tell you what happened? And I'm like, and that's like, literally, I mean, I may have said a few cuss words at church. I'm just like, it's not, I mean, that's real though. Like, sometimes Christians cuss, you know?
Yeah.
And I just kept thinking, I'm like, but now everyone's watching. We have put ourselves in a, we've put ourselves, on display. And now everyone's watching how you deal with this and how we both deal with this.
Yeah.
And I felt a little pressure. But honestly, it made me cling to God more. I was just like, especially since how you were feeling, how you wanted to quit and you were done and you were angry and all those feelings. And I'm just like, and I think like I'm editing these episodes that we had like with C-Ray, and another one, where it was just us two and you're saying these things, you're saying these words and I have you in my headphones and I'm just like, you're telling us that, no matter how hard it gets and it can be really bad. And, I'm just like, that was the other thing. I'm just like, I can't really talk to you. What do you want me to do? Literally. I was like, what does Amber want me to do? I don't know what to do here. And so then I'm editing and I was just like, how are you so prophetic?
Right.
In that.
Those words that I needed for myself.
And so I did like a little audio message and I sent it to mom. I was like, play this for Amber. And you're like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. And so I was just like, okay. I was like, next thing I'm like sending worship songs. And I'm sitting here doing it for you. Taking that on for you. And if you weren't going to be in a place to worship, then I was going to do it for you on your behalf. So I just kept sending them to you. I could literally nonstop in the car. I'm just like over and over praying. All the girls, you know, everyone at church, all my small group, everyone. I feel like they've all been praying for you for the last couple of years. And they're all just as devastated. They're like, I can't believe this. I can't believe this. We've all been praying.
It was because for us, it's like we thought that the worst was over.
Yeah.
We thought we were in the clear and we were ready to share our stories. But little did we know God had a different plan and he was ready to grow us even more and strengthen us even more. Mm-hmm. And so that's hard to accept sometimes.
Yeah, because like, we're like,
it was just not.
Why
it
this
was hard
way?
Because the situation was not in our timing, right? It's like, the most frustrating thing for me was like, we had plans, right? You had booked your flight to come out and visit me just normal. Like, we knew recovery would be tough, but I just kept telling you, yep, I'll be fine. I'll be fine. My typical, I'll be fine. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just keep your flight. It's a surgery, but I recover quick usually. I'll be fine. Don't worry. Keep your flight. And you kept your flight. And then my best friend was moving to town that same weekend after my surgery. And so in my head, it's like, God, why did you do this? Like, why? I want to be there for my friend. I want to help her move. I want to help their family. Like, I want to be there to be their strength. Like, I don't know how to not be there. And it's so hard. So it's a learning curve for me because in my head, I'm like, oh God, you're funny. You do have a sense of humor. Mm-hmm. You were telling me not to get involved and sit down. And so you made sure I sat down. All right. Thanks for that. It was like, step back, Amber, let it go. I got it. I'm going to take care of them. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it was like, but I want to take care of them. I have to be able to know they're okay. Mm-hmm. But remembering that God says that he's got it and just trusting in him. So that was one of the hardest things, being in the hospital and going through this, was not being able to be there for my friends. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to sit back, but now I do, and I don't like it.
It's so hard.
I'll be learning a lot through this process, that's for sure.
I think we both maybe just have control issues.
Slightly. Wonder where we get it from. Thanks, moms.
Yeah, we just because when your whole world is in chaos – you want to be able to control something, hold on to something. And for me, like, I guess maybe that's why we clean. We clean when we're stressed and whatnot. Dude, like, I was so stressed. I started having a twitch in my eye.
You and my mom both.
Like, it wouldn't stop. And I'm like, and it didn't stop until I got there and I was physically with you.
Right.
And yeah, your mom was like, you know, I think you should change your plans. And I'm like, I think she'd be pretty mad if I changed my plans and I didn't come after all this time. Like, she's like, get your butt out here. And if I change my plans, but
yeah,
you needed someone there to wax your armpits.
Yes, ma'am. And didn't my mom tell you to cancel your flight?
Yeah. She's like, I think you need to change. Cause I was like, should I come out early? And she's like, I think you need to change your plans altogether. And I'm like, and I think like that was probably more of like, we got a lot of people in her apartment. It's probably not the most convenient, but thankfully my mom was already going out too. And her cousin was, her cousin was coming out and she had a car. And so that helped tremendously.
Yes.
But I think it was just important that.
And then ever since you got there, you were by my bedside.
Mm-hmm.
Every day you were here in Nashville, you were by my bedside. I'll never, ever forget it. And I'm so grateful for it. Thank you for that. I mean, what kind of friend puts lotion on your crusty feet?
Well,
mine, my best friend does.
You might not remember this, but we weren't, you know, super close when Elijah died. And
no, I wasn't.
And I don't remember if we planned it or if it just happened to be that way where I stopped in a parking lot and you were there too or whatever. And you pulled in too and you said, whatever you need, if you want me to give you a mani-pedi, I will.
That's so funny. Oh my gosh. How crazy is that?
You don't remember that at all?
I do. I remember the parking lot. It was where the Dollar Tree is, Jack in the Box on Hesperia Road.
Yeah.
I remember running into you and finding out about what happened, but, mm-hmm. like, I didn't even know your whole life situation, so it was news to me. It was very, like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Someone that I've known and practically grown up with is going through this.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's just something within me. Like, I always want to do whatever I can, and so.
But, like, that's when you when you are talking about, you're making jokes and you're like, yeah, you can wash my feet. And I'm like, wash your feet? And you're like, yeah, it's biblical. So I was like, but that's the thing that, you know, in my head, I was just like, well, when I was at my lowest, you offered to basically take care of my feet too. So, I mean, I never took you up on it. You've never given, I mean, I don't remember if you painted my toenails or not. I don't know. But I was like, it's okay. I will take care of your feet. I will stretch your arm. I will wax your armpits.
Wax my armpits. And let me tell you, everyone has seen everything on me in the last month and a half. And it's so, so hard.
Yeah. Tell us all about the real, like, lows of being in the lows hospital. Lows is
having to take a shower in front of two to three women that you don't know and having them have to lift your arm up and wash your armpit and get all up in all your cracks and crevices and towel dry you, people that you don't know. And then put you back in your wheelchair to make sure you get your socks on right. Like, it's so dehumanizing. It's not even funny.
Mm-hmm.
In the last month and a half, I've had over 20 catheters put in and out of me. And I was like, okay, everyone in the world has now seen my vagina. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard waking up at 4 a.m., getting shots in my stomach every day.
Mm-hmm. And the shots were for, so you didn't.
So I didn't clot.
So you didn't clot. Mm-mm. It's not those, like, I think people forget, or maybe if they've never had to deal with it, like, it's not, right. It's not the best feeling when you're stuck in a hospital and you can't do certain things and right. You have to be taken care of in such a way. And you're like, I'm an adult. And
that, when they talk to you like a baby, that was the frustrating part. I'm like, stop it. I just want to smack you right now.
Yeah. Like,
I think my most angered part was being in the hospital. I specifically remember they kept coming in and they would dig into my fingernails and my toenails and squeeze as hard as they could. It was the most excruciating, uncomfortable thing in the world. And I'm like, stop. Like, I can feel what you're doing. I have sensation still. I just can't move it. So no matter how hard you pinch me, I can't kick you. So stop. And then them putting an IV in my foot. I literally yanked my right foot out of their hands because I was so burned out. I was done. Like, stop poking me. I can't handle it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot to have to go through, and I never imagined. But then, like, I thought that was the hard part, right? And then I get home,
mm-hmm.
and it's, like, realizing the things that you can no longer do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can no longer draw my eyebrows on straight. That's fun.
They look good right now.
Hey, thanks, friend. I can't, you know, there's just so many things. It's frustrating. And you don't realize it until you go to do it or you think about it. Like, I can't stand up and look through my clothes in my closet. I can't sit there and decipher what's clean and dirty in my closet right now.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I have to bend over, and bending over is not easy.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot to take in. So it's been a trial, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait to discover what God's trying to show me through all of this. Or teach me. I'm ready for it. I mean, I've been through so much in my life. This can only make me stronger.
Mm-hmm.
My biggest pet peeve is when people say, if God doesn't give you more than you can handle. And I think I've said that on this show a couple times. That frustrates me so much because that's not true. He does give us more than we can handle because he wants us to lean to him.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us to rely on him. And boy, am I.
It's like when I wake up. It's like our anti-motto. Of this show, yes. We're like, yes. This statement is not true. Not true.
This is not true. Not true. And that's what makes us better humans and better Christians and love the Lord more, because he does strengthen us and show us what we need to see. Mm-hmm. Make us and shape us into who we are. Yeah. That's what I'm most looking forward to out of all of this, though, is the outcome and knowing what it was. Mm-hmm. But man, oh man, the patience part, girl, let me tell you, I'm over it. I just want to stand up and go clean my kitchen.
I mean, even one of the days that I was there, and you reminded me how to look up the old Snapchat videos. So I'm like pulling all of our, you know, the time you came out to Georgia, yeah. And I took video of you like peeing on the side of the road
and all that. At a gas station.
Yeah. And we're just like laughing about them and just like sitting there, like, you know, snuggled up watching on my phone. And yeah. Then you're like, okay, yeah. I got to go to the bathroom. And you like reach over, you're like, oh, the remote's down there, because you have to call to be helped into, because I couldn't do it legally, help you into your wheelchair, right. And take you to the bathroom. And I'm coming around the bed and you're like, it's down there. And you start to lean forward and you almost fall on me. And you're like, oh my gosh, don't tell my mom. And I'm like, I felt like it was tricking your brain, like us watching our old stuff. And you're like, yeah, I can just get
it. Normal,
I can,
for yeah. a second.
Yeah, like I can get up
I
and
can
do
just
it.
Pick that up. Mm-hmm.
I was like, please don't do that to me again.
Like my physical therapist told me, your brain is lying to you. He told me that over and over. Your brain is lying to you. You cannot walk, so don't try. Mm-hmm. And that's really hard to hear. It's like your brain is lying to you. Like, okay, you can't walk. Hey, Amber, just to remind you, you can't walk. Let me tell you again, you can't walk. You also can't blow dry your hair.
Mm-hmm. Well, even yesterday you were joking about it, because I was like, okay, we're going to go walk to the pick up Kayla from school. And you're like, enjoy your walk while you can. And I'm thinking like the weather, I'm like, it's not supposed to snow. And you're like, no, because you can walk and I can't.
Like, oh Lord. Even Aiden yesterday, he came home from school and I was like, how was your day, bud? He's like, it was good. And I was like, how was the ground today? He looked at me like, what do you mean, how was the ground? I said, well, you're standing on it. How was it? He's like, what? You're crazy, Mom. Your feet are touching the ground. I was like, yeah, but you know what? All your weight is on your feet. How does that feel? Just curious. Don't take things in life for granted. That's the one thing I've learned out of this. Like, every movement that you can make, make it. Mm-hmm. I promise you, if I get healed, the one thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to be running every morning. I will be the most in shape Amber you've ever seen.
Like, but you're not a runner. You've never
been a runner.
I've never been, but
I will be. I will finally have that six pack. I'm telling you, I'm not taking anything for granted.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
You probably won't be able to get a hold of me because I'll never be home anymore.
Well, let's not say that. That's not nice. You're not too busy for me.
Never, but I'll always be on the go, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I'm planning my Jamaica cruise now.
Well, thankfully you can do a cruise in your wheelchair, so that's not going to stop you. The money thing might.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, man. But, you know, yeah, I mean, because you've never been on a cruise, that would be a lot of fun. Now that I've done it and I'm not scared... I'm not scared of...
My son is so scared. Aiden is so scared. He's like, no, Mom, I'm good. You're out in the middle of the flipping ocean. No, I'll pass. I don't feel like being
No. It depends on the cruise you do. Because a lot of them, they it's not, I mean, it's not really drive. They sail. Is that the right term?
Yeah.
They sail at night when you're sleeping. So... Mm-hmm. By the time you're awake and in the morning, they're at the port. So you're not in the middle of the ocean when you're awake. You're at your stop. So that's not a good excuse
so
for him.
You don't have to see it.
Yeah. And it's fun. I mean, he's been on some kind of boat before, right? Like a dinner cruise or something like that?
Not really. Not really.
He can swim, right?
I don't, honestly, it was a struggle with that kid. He tells me he can, but would I let him go to the beach alone to this day at 17 years old? Probably not. I'd have to be, you know, mama bear.
I know.
Like, you're out too far, come back in. I know you're 6'3" and can touch the bottom, but you got to come back in.
I mean, people can drown in bathtubs, so.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. My friend was just saying that last night because her daughter's, you know, 12 or whatever. She's like, we just put her in swim lessons. I'm like, swim lessons? She's like, I can swim. She's like, well, not. They just came back from Hawaii. She's like, not really well. Like, well enough to be, like, confident if you were in the ocean.
Right. Right. And that's how I feel about my 17-year-old. Like, yeah, you say you can, but can you really?
What about a Hawaiian cruise?
I'd do that for sure, because at least I could see him out in the clear water.
Okay, give me your top three cruises that you would do.
Jamaica. I would take a cruise all the way to, like, Scotland. Oh. Because it's worth it.
Well, usually with those, you fly to the place, and then they, right. So, like, if you did, like, a Ireland, Scotland. Well, now, you know, you're into Outlander, so of course you're like, I'm going to Scotland.
No, it's kind of somewhere I've always wanted to, especially Ireland with the heritage mm-hmm. thing.
Ireland's really like
to be pretty awesome.
If we ever did that together, I promise to not, like, if we did like the Cliffs of Moher, to not push you uh-huh. over the cliff.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah,
you know. That.
Yeah. When I was there and I got to be the first one to take you outside. Well, that was special. And then they had...
That was really special.
They had that...
filling the air again in my lungs. Yeah. Yep, that was nice.
They had that little ramp there. I took you for a ride on the ramp. And I'm like, close your eyes. Pretend it's your motorcycle. But it was probably a little scary because you actually were not strapped into the wheelchair. And I think that now I'm like, oh, crap, that could have ended bad.
I could have fallen forward.
Yeah, like, that could have ended really bad.
But you know me, I have to have my thrill seeking. So, like, the top things that have hurt me and, like, frustrated me the most about this whole situation is, A, I've been a hairstylist for 17 years, and I can no longer do my passion. That breaks my heart, like, to no end, just knowing that my career is now over. Like, it's the hardest thing to accept. But on top of that, not being able to ride my motorcycle, something that I looked forward to my entire life, and that was my bucket list thing. Like, I'm a girl, I'm going to get my motorcycle license, I'm going to do it, and I did it. And then it gets taken away from me. Mm-hmm. That sucks. And then Aiden and I, our top thing was always going to theme parks and riding the craziest roller coasters. Mm-hmm. We're both little thrill seekers. And I can never do that again, ever. And that I haven't been able to do since my first stroke, because the aneurysm could rupture and I could have another stroke on the roller coaster. And that crushes me. So now all I'm left with is watching the videos of the roller coasters. Mm-hmm. Yay.
Oh, yeah, so. You can pretend like how they did it during COVID. You can, someone can like shake your chair for you.
Get the headset on Aiden's VR.
Yeah.
I tried it once. It made me so dizzy. Mm. After my first stroke. Oh, girl.
No, you can do like the.
It was rough.
Like putting it on your screen. They were doing with
kids. But here's the funny part in all this. Like, okay, so I was, you know, I went skydiving the same year I bought my motorcycle. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, gave my mom practically a heart attack. And so now they're already super paranoid. Like, okay, she can't do all those things. What will she try and do now? Mm-hmm. Like, what is she going to look forward to doing now that she can do that's going to scare us even more? Go hiking where all the bears are. Yep.
Well, you can't really run away.
Nope. But thank goodness I live in the South and I will be getting a gun and... I will have that protection. And that probably scares the crap out of them,
well,
too.
Well, do they have just, like, straight trails?
They do, but I want to go to the Smokies, where it's, like, very filled with bears, and a lot of people don't realize that.
And go in your wheelchair?
Yep.
That's what I'm saying, yep, like, if it's, like, leveled.
But the goal is to hike again. Yeah. I don't know if it'll ever happen, but... We'll see what God has in store, what the next thing is. I know he wanted me to sit back for now, but come on.
can't
you keep an amber
can't
down.
Keep a good girl down. What was that? Now my brain is like popped out of my head. So what other things has the stroke affected this time around?
Well, the biggest thing right now is my memory, my short-term memory. I'm like Dory from Finding Nemo. Yeah. It's bad. So I'm Bambi because I can't walk, and Dory because I can't remember anything.
You've got a thing for Disney characters.
Slightly. But yeah, that is affected. My speech is affected, and my peripheral vision. I can't see to my left side.
Oh, yeah.
So that's scary. I was laying in bed at the hospital, and someone walked in one day, and I couldn't see them, but I could hear that they were in there, and it scared the crap out of me because no one was due to be in the room. So I was like, hello. It was like a scary movie. I was like, hello, who is there? And no one answered. So I was like, that's cool. I don't know if someone's in this room or not. But so I've had to learn to like turn my head completely to try and see.
Was there someone in the room?
There wasn't, because then a nurse walked in, or my mom walked in right after. I was like, mom, who's in here? She's like, no one. I was like, okay, that was even creepier.
Like, did you just like hear the door open?
Yeah, heard the door open. So it was a little
creepy. Well, I know that a few times, like it was the guy doing checking the linens or whatever. So he may have
come in real quick and then bounced out.
Yeah. That's nice. They should always announce themselves,
I think. Yeah. But my biggest frustration is probably the memory. Someone like you, for instance, do you remember this? You ask me that a lot. Do you remember that? I'm like, no, 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 and no. It's crazy.
I try to just double check at this point. Like, do you remember this?
Right. You know what I just heard about? Did you? I'm pretty sure you did too. That Bruce Willis is no longer going to be acting.
Mm-hmm.
They just came out with that saying that he has what? What's it called? Aphasia.
Aphasia.
Which is a symptom of a stroke, but apparently he didn't have a stroke. But it's basically memory loss, speech impairment, visual issues, same things.
Being able to like understand.
To understand what you're saying.
Yeah, when other people are saying.
What's the word? Cognitive speaking. Like, there, it makes no sense. You don't comprehend things. And that's one of the first things they check with a stroke patient.
Cognitive ability. So it impacts cognitive abilities.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right now they're just, they're saying that it's unknown at this time what led to it.
Right.
I mean, unless they're like, they're keeping it under wraps, like maybe.
Under wraps.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's definitely, usually they'll say like a, you know, breaking news, you know, Bruce Willis rushed to the hospital because he had a stroke or something like that. But none of that has come out. So it might be maybe like, you know, it could be like a disorder or head injury or any of those type of things can lead to it.
Right. They say it can just randomly be brought on out of nowhere. Kind of like how people go through dementia.
Yeah. Like it says it can lead sometimes to dementia as well.
Right, so yes, I mean, it's the same symptoms as dementia to a certain extent. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he says. They came out and he's retiring from acting.
That breaks my heart. He's such a good actor, but like just knowing that his family's going to have to go through that with him is so hard. This is not an easy thing to have to go through, and I don't wish it on anyone.
Yeah, it was a. I saw a sweet Haley Joel Osment, who was in Sixth Sense with him, said, it's been difficult to find the right words for someone I've always looked up to, first on the big screen and then by some wild stroke of luck in person. I think he said more, but that was just like a quote. And I was like, it's kind of strange because you're like, you know, people are reacting. It just seemed like he was like taking a break, but now it's like he's retiring, like no longer going to be acting. And it's just like, what's happening right now?
Right.
Just like, you know.
Because, that's career crushing as well, is my thing. Like, as to be an actor, you have to be able to remember your lines. And if you can't, like, that's it. You're done. And so that's a hard step down to have to make, something you've known your entire life and to have to give that up. That's heartbreaking. So our prayers definitely go out to the Willis family. Can't imagine what they're going through.
It's really, I mean, it's really difficult for the person enduring it, but it's also really difficult for the, you know, friends and, yeah, friends and family to
people
like
around.
Watch as you right. can't.
Like I said earlier, I can't even imagine how you guys sat back waiting for answers. And like all my friends, it's just, it's hard. All my family, my mom specifically, like that's hard to hear about your own child or a family member. But I'm so grateful, just so everyone knows, I have the most amazing friends and family anyone could ever ask for. This amount of support, prayers, and love that I've received during this is just unbelievable and very eye-opening and so, like, comforting to know that I have that many people around. And I hope that anyone that does have to go through this has that same thing, has a mom that's willing to step up as much as mine has, and a best friend. Like, it's the biggest blessing, and God has shown me that. I have some amazing people. When you don't feel loved, He makes sure you know that you are loved. And that's pretty cool. I'm so grateful for it.
I'm hopeful for the future. But I'm also realistic. So I think half my brain is still like, oh, what can we do? What can we do? And then
like, how do we set this up for the future? Yeah.
And then the other half of my brain is like, okay, but now you still have to plan. It's kind of like what they say, like, hope for the best and plan for the worst.
Plan for the worst.
So it's like, okay, if I'm hopeful, but like, how can we
see? And the crazy part is, with you saying that, sorry to cut you off, like, that was my mentality before I went into surgery, right? Like, I had sent you my passwords and everything, and I went and added my son to my bank account. Just in case, you have to plan for the worst in those things. Like, what if I didn't make it out of surgery? Like, my son needs to have whatever's in my account, and they need to be able to access those things. Mm-hmm. So I really did plan for the worst, but not expecting this to be the worst.
Yeah.
Sorry, what were you saying?
I was just saying, like, planning, if we're hopeful, best case scenario. And then worst case scenario is, you know, can't do a lot of the things that we did hope or plan for. How can we still achieve right. those things in the current situation?
Right.
So thankfully we can still do this show.
Right. I'm so grateful, and it's such a relief to be able to sit in this chair. Not a relief to sit in this chair, because I would love nothing more than to get out of it, but to sit in front of my laptop having this discussion with you and being capable of doing this podcast, that in itself is a blessing in disguise. Like, it could be so much worse, and I'm able to have this conversation with you, and I'm grateful to have words to be able to do this.
Well, I mean, even take away everything else, you still have your voice, and maybe that's, you know, and God intended that, like, for you to still be able to tell your story and inspire other people with your story.
Right.
That's
right. If anything, that's what I hope for, is that someone finds some positive out of this.
Yeah.
And whoever God's trying to make that this story for, that they are there listening.
Yeah. We did have one little change, which we probably said it before, but we are now, Amber's switching gears, and you can now follow her on her personal account, which is
Amber_N_G on Instagram.
Yeah. So now there's,
I'm on there more, and for people to have updates on my story, I'd rather them see it than have to search for it. So it's a little bit easier access to me and my life, which I feel like that's what needs to happen.
Yeah. And the hair stuff is just on hold for right now.
Yes.
So we'll see how that turns out. You can find me at ashley.reed. And where can they find us, Amber, together?
They can find us on our @UncommonFaithPodcast on Instagram. And they can also, if you guys want to get in touch with us, you can email us at uncommonfaithpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. If you have any questions about anything that I've gone through, I am here to answer, and more than willing to reach out to people that are in need of that little extra support and comfort during a hard time. I would love nothing more than to be able to pray for you. The both of us would.
Awesome. I posted that thing on Instagram of that little voting thing because you thought maybe we should shorten our episodes for because like one person at the rehab place was like, oh, those are long episodes because they're like wanting something short. I don't feel like personally we could accomplish everything in a 30-minute episode. But that's not even 30 minutes. It's less than that because we have our little breaks and our intro and our outro. Like, but it was unanimous. All the people that did vote voted no. Right. They like it long. They like our long episodes. So great. We're going to keep it long.
Yeah.
Please come back. We do have some great guests that will be coming up soon now that we're gathering ourselves. Now that Amber's back home. We're going to get back into this full force. So thank you guys so much for all your prayer and support and all that with Amber during this whole last month.
It's greatly appreciated.
Yeah, we've definitely felt it and so appreciative of you guys following along with both of two little best friends. And how we just talk about good stuff and some nonsense, but we're here for it. And we're glad that you're here for it too. So thank you guys. Until next time. Bye.
Bye.